Well, glory is very powerful. People want glory. I mean, people want to be honored. People want to see their worth. They want to say, well, you know, I got glory there. We live in a society in which, in a culture in which glory, honor, praise, fame is desired. I mean, we see, you just turn on television and you just see what these people are doing so that people will notice them or they'll get glory or honor or whatever. And we think about that people sacrifice their lives to become rich and famous, that kind of thing. What would you do to be famous? What would you do to get glory? Now listen to this. This was an article that goes all the way back to 1997, an article from Sports Illustrated. They ran a poll of 198 athletes who were sprinters, swimmers, power lifters. Just those three groups. 198 people who were either sprinters, swimmers, or power lifters. And they asked them this question. They said, what if you could take a banned substance that would enhance you, that you'd have two guarantees? Number one, you would never get caught. And number two, you would win. So would you take a substance that they wouldn't catch you and that you'd be guaranteed to win? Would you take the substance? 195 said yes. 3 said no. Now get the next question. Same question. Would you take it? 3 things. Number one, you would not get caught. Number two, you would win every competition for the next 5 years. Number three, you will die from the side effects. More than half said they would take it. More than half were willing to say, I would be willing to take something that I know is going to kill me, that it would guarantee that I would be the best and I would win every competition for the next 5 years. All for the glory of being the best. Let's think about those of us who've trusted Jesus Christ. Why are we here? To get glory? To become famous? To be made known? People want to feel important. Should we get glory? Well, the answer is no. Who should get the glory? Well, our God and our Savior Jesus Christ gets all the glory. Realize the truth that we're serving the living God. Why do we do it? Now think about this. Why would you serve God? Now, we've already seen all kind of different motives and everything, but think about it. When we minister, is it so people will like us? So that people will think we're nice? So that people will think we're holy or smart or good? Why would we serve God? What is the purpose of ministry? It is for the glory of God. Well, this evening we're going to look at the purpose of ministry is to glorify God, or that He gets all the glory. And it's pretty powerful. And let's think about it. Let's get a review. We've been looking at this study. We raised those four questions to begin with. What is ministry and how do we do ministry and all that? Then we've been looking at these key elements. And our goal and our plan is to understand all of these things involved in ministry. And what we've seen, number one, I think number one should be next, is that the foundation, this is our review, the foundation of ministry is character. That's the bottom line. You got to have character. You got to do what you're supposed to do. You got to be a godly person in that sense. You got to have character, or you won't have a foundation, and it won't work. So the foundation of ministry is character. Number two, we saw that the motive of ministry is love. If you're serving God, if your motive to serve is something other than love, it won't last very long because it'll play out or something will change. But if it's love, love for God and love for others, it'll work. Number three, we saw that the nature of ministry is service. That's what it really is, because that's what ministry means. It means to serve. We serve God and we serve others. The fourth one that we saw is the measure of ministry is sacrifice. And that was pretty powerful. We thought about sacrifice, and it goes back to God sacrificing first for us, sacrificing His Son. Then we come back and sacrifice, sacrificing for God, sacrificing for others. Then the fifth one is one we saw last time. The authority of ministry is submission. The authority that we have when we serve is that we come under the authority of the Word of God. So we come under God and His Word. That's the authority. So that's what we saw last time. Now, here's this evening as we look, we're going to see another key element. And I love this one because it's as we just seen it, the next thing up there, I think, is that the purpose of ministry is the glory of God. Let's think about glory of God. In your life, why are we here? Is it so God would be glorified? God would be lifted up? I mean, think about it. Why do we serve? Why do we minister? Is the end purpose that God would be glorified in all we do? He gets all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. I mean, we're going to see in just a minute. When you think about it, you may be used by God. You may. What if you got up and there were 100 people there and you spoke to them and 100 people got up and said, tonight's the night. None of us have ever heard the message of Jesus. Every one of us believe in Jesus. Who gets the glory? It's God. It's not you. You'd say, I'm the one that talked about it. I'm the one that told it. You don't. It's God who gets all the glory and everything, and we'll talk about it. So as we look at this, we realize that it's been said that we're not here for ourselves. We're here to serve the living God. It has also been said we are not here to make a name for ourselves, but to make a name for God. As we think about ministry, let's think about the plan and the purpose here. In 1 Corinthians 11, I want you to realize who we are, okay? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, for a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and what? Glory of God. When you go back to the creation, mankind, and we're talking about mankind in general now, mankind was made what? In the image of the living God. In that sense, we're created in his image. We reflect the glory of the Creator. I want you to think about this. Everything that is created has been made in a sense in the image and the glory of God. All creation is to bring glory to God. Now listen to this. I'm not going to have you turn there. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, starts off by saying, for the choir director, a psalm of David. A lot of people don't realize it when they look at the psalms. They're songs. They were songs. David wrote half of them. They were songs for the choir director, for the nation of Israel to sing them. So Psalm 19 says, for the choir director, a psalm of David. And listen to this. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. What is the creation telling us? What is the creation showing us? The glory of God. I mean, if we walked out, sun's going down a little bit. We're under 14 hours a day of light. I'm getting sad. It's getting shorter every day. 1 to 2 minutes every day. We're losing that sunlight. But anyway, if we all went out there and we saw the sunset, if we all went out right now, we'd all be going, look at that. Is that beautiful? Look at the color of those clouds. We'd all, who's getting the glory there? It's his creation. So in reality, when you think about it, the creation brings glory to God. The creation declares the glory of God. And we are the crown of the creation. We are made in the image of the living God. We're to bring glory to God. Look, you're in 1 Corinthians 11. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Look what it says. Whatever then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, what does it say? Do all to the glory of God. Now, sometimes, and this is why I like this passage, but sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to get to speak somewhere. I'm going to teach a Sunday school class. I'm going to help somebody do this. I'm going to work in vacation Bible school. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give my testimony to them. We think all those things, we think those are big things. And we say, yeah, big things. We want God to be what? Glorified. But here's what he says. Whatever you what? You eat, you drink, just your regular old life. What's the purpose of your regular old life? To bring glory to God in everything. And sometimes we don't even realize that anything we do can bring glory to God. I mean, I remember reading one of the old saints, and he would say, if you're going to wash dishes, wash them for the glory of God. And, you know, sometimes we think of menial things. Some people say, oh, I got to clean this up, or I got to do that, or I'll go take those and throw that away. You know, everything we do is really for the glory of God. He lets us live on this earth. He created us. He gifted us all of those things. And so everything we do is for the glory of God. Look at Paul's charge. I want you to go back a little. 1 Corinthians 6. Go back to 1 Corinthians 6. Just kind of go backwards in the book. We saw in verse 31, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse, of course, 19 and 20, which is famous. But verse 19, what do you don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit is in you? You're not your own. You and whom you have from God, and yet you're not your own. And then look what he says. You've been bought with a price. What's the price? What is it? The blood of Jesus Christ. Exactly. I mean, that's the price. Wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died. And he is the satisfactory payment. Not for our sins, only for the sins of the whole world. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in your... Let me say it this way. Tell me if I'm right. Glorify God in your life. Is that what it says? It says your body, doesn't it? He doesn't just mean in sort of how you live, go through life. He's talking about this life, everything you do. He could have said, glorify God in your soul. Glorify God in your mind. In Romans 12, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. It's bodies. It's this body. It's this. As we go through life in this. And he says, whatever you do, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We're to glorify God in our body. We've been bought with a price. So we need to live in such a way that God gets all the glory. Now, realize this. If our purpose for serving God is really anything other than the glory of God, we may end up doing religious activity. That's what it may end up being. It just may end up going through the motions, so to speak. I remember after I started growing as a Christian and understanding Scripture, somebody took me to a church that was very, very, very ritualistic. And I remember sitting there and a person came in with incense and stuff, and everything that they did was very ritualistic. And I kept thinking, what are they doing? God's name wasn't even mentioned. So sometimes if the glory of God is not the purpose, we could just end up going through the motions. And so how can we serve? What do we do that God gets all the glories? How can this be lived out? Well, as we do that, I think there's several things. And what I want to do is, I think I've got, let's see, I don't know what the next slide is. I want to look at five ways to serve as we are bringing glory to God. Five things, in a sense, that we sort of can do that, in a sense, ultimately the Bible says bring glory to God. Now, you may have to flip some pages because I want you to actually see the verses. So you just may have to flip some pages, and that's a little bit harder sometimes to go to these places. Here's number one. Here's the first thing. By living a godly life, you will bring glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter 5. I think that's the verse in it. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Flip over to Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 16. By living a godly life, you will bring glory to God. Matthew 5, verse 16 says this, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your what? Your good works, your godly life. And what will happen? You will glorify your Father who's in heaven. When we live a life that is a life of good works, a godly life, letting our light shine before the world, who gets the glory? God does. See, sometimes we just miss it. We think if we live a godly life, we'll get the glory. No, because all human beings know that all human beings are fallen. And that for a human being to live a godly life has to be God's power through him. And so when we live a godly life and so let the light shine, then God gets the glory. We live doing good works and God gets the glory. I don't know if I put Titus 2:12. I didn't do it. I don't think I did. Titus 2:12 says, living righteously and godly in this present age. As we live a godly life before the fallen world, God will be glorified. There's another verse, and I think I have it. Is it 1 Peter 2? Yeah, 1 Peter 2:12. Listen to this just without having to turn there. Listen carefully what he says. Peter is writing to believers, and he says this, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. And he's using the term Gentiles to mean the unbelieving world. He says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may on account of your good deeds, because you live righteously, they will observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. He says, when you live a godly life in a fallen world, ultimately, who gets all the glory? God does. Isn't that amazing? Excellent behavior among unbelievers, and on account of that, God gets the glory. George Barna, and he's the famous guy now that does all the statistics, he said this, of the 65 aspects that make up the actions of the unbelieving world, They had listed 65 things that unbelievers do in a fallen world system. He said 64 of those are characterized by believers. 64 to 65. I don't know what they were. I mean, I remember reading them a long time ago. I just pulled that out as a thing. But I remember seeing the list, and you started saying, well, yeah, because Christians do the same thing here, do the same thing here. And he's just saying, here's our problem. What is it? We don't look any different. And if we're going to bring glory to God, we're going to have to live a godly life in a fallen world. We're going to live in such a way that they will see our good works and God will be glorified. We're going to have to keep our behavior excellent among the fallen world so God will be glorified. So the very first thing that we, when we talk about, okay, how do we bring glory to God, live a godly life, okay? Here's number two. We bring glory to God as we spread the gospel. God is glorified. If you don't want to have to turn there, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Now, when he talks about the grace which is spreading, he's talking about the grace message. Let me tell you, the message of grace, the gospel message, the good news message always brings glory to God. Always does. Always. Let me tell you what. Any other message doesn't bring glory to God. If you add one thing to the grace message, the glory goes from the Father, goes from God, and goes to who? To the person. If I said to you, in order for you to be saved, there's not one thing you can do. God has done it all. And in humility, and you take the grace of God, and he gives you eternal life simply by faith. Who gets the glory there? God does, because he's the one that's saving you. You don't do a thing. You're falling upon his great mercy and grace. But if I said, listen, if you want to have salvation, you've got to be willing to deal with your sins, to turn away from your sins. You've got to be willing to walk down this aisle and make a public profession. You've got to be willing to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, to live for him. Who gets the glory in that? We do, because you can say, well, that's what I was willing to do. See, people don't understand that lordship, salvation, and any kind of works added to it takes all the glory away from God and puts the glory on the person. It's the grace of God which glorifies God. It's the grace of God which glorifies God. When the message of grace is proclaimed, God gets the glory. I mean, think about it. Who's the Savior? Jesus. Who sent the Son? God. Who died on the cross? Who paid for sin? Who offers us a gift? Who keeps us safe forever? Who makes us new creations in Christ? Who empowers us with the Holy Spirit? Who does all that? God does it. Does he do it because of what we've done? What we're going to do? What we promised to do? Not one thing. That's why it's all grace, and who gets the glory? He does. As we spread the gospel, the good news message, the grace of God, God is glorified. Anything you add to it, anything other than the grace of God, removes the glory from God. And you know, you've seen it. You've seen people say you need to walk aisle, you need to be willing to turn away from your sins, you need to make this, you need to do this. Anytime somebody puts that to it, the glory is gone from the grace of God because it's not grace anymore. And it goes to the person. So be careful. In grace, message of salvation, God gets the glory. There's a third thing that we do in order as to bring glory to God, and that is trust the Word of God. Trust the Word. Trust God. He gets glory when we trust him. Listen to this. This famous verse, Romans, I don't know if I have it. Yeah, Romans chapter 4, verse 20. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, you can. Let me read it to you. Here's what it says. Talking about Abraham. And it said, here's Abraham, with the respect to the promise of God, Abraham, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in his faith. That means he trusted God. Therefore, giving glory to God. Who gets the glory when you trust God? Why does God get glory when you trust him? That's a hard question, isn't it? Sometimes we're like, wait a minute, I don't want to say anything because I could be wrong. Because he gets the glory because he's the one who is able to be trusted. See, he's the one who's able to be trusted. When we say, I trust you, when we trust in God's word, it gives glory to God because God will always do whatever he promises. When we are people to take God at his word, he gets the glory. So when you trust him, He gets glorified because he's the one that's trustworthy. Some people say that in order for you to be saved, you have to endure to the end. You have to keep being faithful to the end. Who gets the glory? You do. Let me ask you something. Are we saved based on our faithfulness at all? How faithful are we? Anybody in this room faithful? Raise your hand if you're really faithful. See, none of us raise our hand. Because we know, Psalm 103, we are but dust. And if we depend on us, if we depend on us to get saved, if we depend on us to stay saved, ain't none of us going. Who gets the glory? It's God who gets the glory because he's trustworthy. He's the faithful one. He's the one who could be trusted. How many of us in this room have one time said, I promise you I'll do that, and then you didn't do it? How many of you have done that? Right? In your life, hadn't we? So we're not trustworthy, are we? Not all the time. Not 100%. I mean, most of us may say, I'll try to be there. I'll be there. Well, I'll try to be there. I mean, about the best you could ever say is, I'll do everything in my power to be there. Except wake up early, and then I might not want to get up early, and I want to feel good, and, you know, I didn't have my breakfast, and I don't know why. I promised them I'd say I'd do that anyway, because I really don't like to do that sort of thing, and they probably don't need me anyway, and other people are going to show up, so they don't really need me, right? We're not faithful. God gets the glory when we trust him, because he's trustworthy. There's a fourth one. And that is, God gets glory when we produce fruit. Look at, if you're in Matthew, go ahead and turn over to John 15. I just want you to see this one. It's a famous one too. John 15, look at verse 8. He gets the glory when we produce fruit. John 15, verse 8, he says, My Father is glorified by this. And then he explains it. That you bear much fruit. When we produce fruit, when we live for the glory of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're serving God and using, doing all the stuff we're supposed to do. Who gets the glory? He does. You know, what is fruit? Is it saying, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, which means you produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, could be. Could fruit be that you lead someone to Christ? Because Paul talks about in Romans that he wants to come there and bear fruit among them as he has among the other Gentiles. Could that be what he's talking about? Could it be talking about fruit of good works, which one of the other passages in Titus says that we do bear the fruit as we do the good works? So, no telling, but when you do that, when you share your faith, when people come to know Christ, when you do good works, when you live out the fruit of the Spirit in your life, who gets the glory? He does. By this, my Father is glorified. It's powerful. Well, when we serve, when we produce fruit, he gets the glory. There's one more. One more. Use your gifts. I want you to see this one, so go turn all the way to 1 Peter 4, all the way over to 1 Peter 4, almost to the back, and it's 10 and 11, and I want you to see what he says about God getting the glory. When we taught this on spiritual gifts, when we went through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, especially when we went to chapter 12, we hit on this verse when it talks about using gifts. But when we use our gifts, God gets the glory. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, verse Peter 4, 10 says, As every one of us has received a gift, some of your Bibles may put the word special gift, but you notice special's in italics, it's not really there. It literally says, as everyone has received a gift, employ it, use it in serving one another. Take your gifts and use them to serve fellow believers as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is, just using wisely what God's given us. And then he says, if you speak, if you're going to speak, speak the word of God. If you're going to serve by the strength which God supplies. So he says, if you have a teaching gift, a speaking gift, speak God's word. If you have a serving gift, serve in God's power. And then he sums it up by saying, so that, here's the purpose. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. when we speak and serve and use our gifts and do all the things that God has for us to do, God gets the glory. Think about this. When a fallen human being is used to serve others, based on the gifts that God has given, he gets all the glory. If you have the gift of teaching and you get to teach, who gets the glory? God. If you got the gift of helps and you're helping, who gets the glory? If you got the gift of administration and you do that, who gets the glory? See, because the truth is, who gave you the gift? Who gives you the power? Who gives you the opportunity? All from God. He could give every one of us in here gifts and never use a single one of us. He don't have to use you. But he says, you know, I'm going to use you. And so who gets the glory when he takes us and uses us? He does. It's powerful. Powerful. God gets the glory when fallen man is used to serve others. When we're used by God to serve others, proclaiming the word of God, he gets the glory. So it's very powerful. Now, he has gifted us. He has saved us. He empowers us. He gives us the opportunities. That's why he gets the glory. So the purpose of ministry is that God would be glorified. Now, as we think about this, there are five things we just mentioned. How do we glorify God in our lives? Well, if we live a godly life, he gets glory. As we spread the gospel, the grace message, he gets the glory. As we trust God's word and he's faithful, he gets the glory. As we produce fruit, he gets the glory. And as we use our gifts, he gets the glory. The results in all of that is God is glorified. And so the purpose of ministry is the glory of God. And so we could go back to 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So let me give you application, then we'll have any questions you might want to bring up. Let's bring glory to God in all that we do. I mean, that's bottom line. He's the creator. He's the savior. He's the one who empowers us, all that. How do we do it? A, by lifestyle, being godly in all that we do. Because when we live a godly lifestyle, who gets the glory? He does. B, proclaim the grace of God for salvation. Don't forget this, because there are people who are not careful with their words. And they may say, oh, I believe that salvation is by grace through faith. So what must a person do to be saved? Well, I think they have to be willing to do this. And they're not careful what they're saying. They may actually say, I think it's grace. I've had people say, there's not one thing a person can do to gain salvation. I said, good. So how is a person saved? Well, they need to turn away from their sins and give their lives to Jesus. I said, you just told them to do two things. So be careful, because the glory of God comes when the grace message is proclaimed. See, live by the word, because when we live by the word, we trust the word, trusting God, who is trustworthy. And then this last one, I kind of put them together. D, being fruitful as we use our gifts. As we use the gifts, he gets the glory. As we produce fruit, he gets the glory. So I sort of put those together, that as we're fruitful and use our gifts, he gets all the glory. So we want to be men and women who bring glory to God by our lives. So remember, the foundation for ministry is what? It's character. The motive for ministry is love. The nature of ministry is service. The measure of ministry is sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ for us and our sacrifice for him. The authority for ministry is submission. And the purpose of ministry is the glory of God. Well, let's pray. If you got questions, comments, and all that, we'll do that, and then we'll break. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want our lives to count for you. We want you to get all the honor and all the glory. We know that through our lifestyle, if we live godly in a fallen world, you'll get the glory. That we'll let our light shine so that people can see our good works and you'll be glorified. As we proclaim the grace message of salvation, the glory goes off of the person and goes to the Savior. Thank you, Lord. As we live by the word of God, it just shows that you're trustworthy, that we can believe you and trust you as we live by the scripture. Lord, as we are fruitful, as we are producing fruit, you get all the glory. And then, Lord, of course, as we use our spiritual gifts, you get the glory. Whether it's a speaking gift or a serving gift, you get the glory. Lord, I pray that we will be men and women who bring glory to you, and that in all that we do, Jesus Christ is glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.